the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we praise your name, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. The Word of God says that the Spirit of God, He would that it would flow out of your belly like rivers of living water. What's flowing out of you? What do people feel coming from you? The language that we use today and years ago, you would have never talked like this, but it's something that's understood today. What kind of vibes are coming out of you? What do people feel when they're around you? Do they feel the love of Jesus? Do they feel the Spirit of God? Amen. And if they're going to feel Jesus, if they're going to feel the Spirit of God, you're going to have spent some time with the Lord. Amen. He lives within us, but as we spend time with Him and dwell in His presence and live in His presence, it saturates us, it fills us. Amen. The Bible tells us this: out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so out of the abundance of your heart, if it's Jesus that's in an abundance in your heart, when your mouth speaks, you're going to speak the words of life. You're going to speak the words of Jesus. You're going to speak a rightful word, amen, in the rightful season, at the right time. You're going to be able to help people, and they're going to perceive, as we studied in the book of Acts, those religious leaders perceived, and they knew, it didn't use that word exactly, but they knew that Peter and John, that they had been with Jesus. Amen. And does the world know that you have been with Jesus? I only have to be around you a little bit, and I can begin to pick up the vibes that are coming out of you, the things that's occupying your mind. And I want it Jesus that's coming out of you. Amen. The words of Spirit and the words of life. And some people, you spend a little bit of time with them, and they're talking about the current events that's going on in this world, and they're talking about the vehicle they have or the activities and hobbies that they do. And most of the time we're talking about our problems and our concerns, but it should be Jesus, amen, that comes out of us more than anything else. Because we all say we want everybody to go to heaven. We want to be that light in this sin-darkened world. And being a Christian alone is a light to this world, but living that Christian life, as we was talking about in Sunday school this morning, and letting that love of God just radiate from you, and people can see Jesus in you. And yeah, they're going to get envious of you. The world is. They're going to get jealous of you. They're going to call you a religious fanatic. Amen. But that's not going to bother you at all. Amen. You just keep on loving people and reaching out to people and let God, amen. You need to be a channel that God can work through in this world that we're living, because He's looking for willing vessels. Willing vessels. Amen. I want to be a willing vessel. We're not going to sing that song, but it goes right along with that. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Amen. Pure and holy, tried and true. Amen. That blood of Jesus, that the love of Jesus can come through you. How else are they going to see the love of Jesus? Chances of them picking up a Bible and opening it up to the right verse and having an understanding of what it says is slim to none. But them running across your path, there's a real possibility that you can show the love of Jesus to them. Amen. The children's group, that not a lot, or some of them are missing today, but they have a song that they're going to sing for us this morning. Oh, they're going to sing that song. So I gave an introduction to the song. They're going to sing. I didn't even know that. So the children can come up, amen, with Sister Judy. They're going to sing that song. Lord, prepare me. Let your day, every day, be filled with God's love working and flowing through. Turn over to the book of Matthew chapter 16. And so what I want to do, what I feel inspired here for the next number of weeks we're going to be doing this, we are going to be looking at some of the questions that Jesus had. Because He was the great teacher, and He would do a lot of teaching, and people always had a lot of questions of Him. And even today, we have a lot of questions for God. There's times that we don't understand things. We look and we have ideas that we want to know from God. Sometimes we want to know, God, where are you? In a given circumstance and situation that's going on in your life, it seems like God has abandoned you. He's not around. So we'll say, God, where are you? And there's other questions that we may ask of Him. And there might be something that has happened in your life or in the life of somebody else. And the question comes into your mind, God, why did you allow this? Why did you allow this? And we question God. And then sometimes the questions that we have that follow those things that I just talked about is we then have another question of why or what good can come out of this thing that has happened in my life or this thing that has happened in the world? There's a lot of questions that we have. So we're in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Amen. He's going to get those up on the screen. And and I don't know if we're going to go through, because this will take us almost through the whole summer if we do this. The questions that Jesus had, there's not a whole lot of them recorded in the Scripture. In the New Testament, in the Old Testament, God had, many times he had questions for his children, for the children of Israel. He had questions for them. And so we're going to look at one of the questions that he had for the disciples. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. So we're going to start in verse 13. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, and this is the question that he had, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. But I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And so there's different ideas, but the question that Jesus had was here, it was a personal one, and he was talking to them specifically, but we can apply it to ourselves today. Who do you say that Jesus is? That's the question that he asked of you today. If Jesus were here talking, he would be saying, who do you say that I am? He wanted to know what people were saying about who he was. And there's different ideas of who Jesus is. And in verse 14, we can already see some of those ideas. And so when he said to them, whom do men say that I am? And if he would ask you that today, you could come up maybe with some of the things that the disciples had here of what people think Jesus is and who they think he is. But these disciples said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And so who, and then Jesus got more specific with them in verse 15, and he says, but who do you say that I am? It's not so important what other people think about who Jesus is and what he is and his purpose and his reason. And there's so many varying ideas out there, but in Christianity, and we're in Christianity, we believe that Jesus is the Messiah that's foretold in the Old Testament. He's also the Son of God. And through his death and resurrection, humans can be reconciled to God. They're offered salvation and the promise of eternal life. In a nutshell, that's who Jesus is. That's who we believe that Jesus is. But not everybody in this world believes that about Jesus. That's not the accepted idea of who Jesus is. In Islam, what they believe, that Jesus is the Messiah and one of God's highest ranked, most beloved prophets. The Bible nowhere says that, I don't believe it does, that Jesus is a prophet. He's not the prophet. He is God in the flesh. But they believe he is one of God's highest ranked, most believed prophets. And they also believe this, that he isn't the Son of God. That he isn't the Son of God. And what they refer to Jesus as, to the Islam, those that are Islam, they refer to Jesus as the Son of Mary. Jesus, oh, that's the Son of Mary. He's one of God's highly esteemed prophets. That's who he is. But he's not associated to God, because they don't associate him with God, because in their eyes, then that would be idolatry. That would be an idolatrous worship, because Jehovah, in him only shall you worship, and you don't worship somebody else, so they don't accept him as God in the flesh. And the Jews, what do they believe about Jesus? Generally speaking, the Jews reject him as Messiah, as the Jews did in Jesus' day. They rejected him as being the Messiah. The Jews today are still looking for their Messiah. They're still looking for their Savior. And that is one of the downfall of the Jewish people. because of their total and complete continual rejection of Jesus. He showed himself so plainly to them. It was given in the Old Testament scripture. And when it happened in the New Testament, their eyes were just blinded to it. They wouldn't accept it. And so then God decided that, and it was from the beginning. It wasn't something because God was pressured into it, because the people that he had chosen to be his people and to be their savior, because they rejected me and didn't accept me, now I'm going to come over to you Gentiles. That wasn't exactly how it happened, although that's how it happened. The Jews rejected and rejected, and then God opened this salvation plan up to the Gentiles, amen, so that we can have it today. But that's a warning to us, the continual rejection that Jesus is the Messiah. And you can have a continual rejection of a principle or a precept in God's word where it just goes against your belief, it goes against the grain, it goes against your flesh, and you don't want to accept it and accept it. God will let you go in your rejection. He'll let you go in your false belief and in your false way. God doesn't make anybody believe in him. God doesn't make anybody believe that he really is the Messiah. But we know when it's all said and done that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In fact, if you study the book of Revelation out, and there's different things in there that there's an implication that what is going to happen. It's more than an implication. It's in bold words in there. Whenever the wrath of God begins to be poured out in that great tribulation, that instead of people turning towards God and thinking we have sinned, we have done wrong, they're going to be more angry with God. They're going to, so to speak, shake their fist in God's face and blame all the trouble that's going on in this world. They're going to blame it on God, a God in whom they really don't believe, but yet they're going to blame it on him. And in reality, we know that all the judgment and wrath of God that's going to fall upon this earth is because of men's continual rejection of the truth. It's written out so plain. It's in the word. It's so easy to understand. Even children can understand salvation, but yet some of the most educated people, they can't understand it. They can't get the concept of it. And so, as I started out saying, Jesus says, whom do you say that I am? In verse 15, but whom say ye that I am? Well, this one says this, that one says that, but God makes it more personal. And so make that a personal question for you today. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who is Jesus to you? Is he somebody that's the savior of your soul? Or is he somebody that's just there? If you happen to have a need, he's there to help you out. Is he just that friend that sticks closer than a brother? Or is he the beautiful rose of Sharon? He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to your soul. He's God in the flesh. He's my King. He's my Savior. Who is Jesus to you today? Amen. Who is Jesus to you today? And God also had questions and had questions, amen, for people that are recorded in the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's questions of God. Amen. And those questions that God would ask, that Jesus would ask, they were given to us to get us to think. And ultimately, he was leading to, if you really realize who I am, then you are going to repent and you are going to return to him, because you're going to realize that this life, in essence and in reality, it's all about God. It's all about God. God gifted you the gift of life that you have. He gave that to you. He gifted his son to us so that we can have that eternal redemption, so that we can be forever in the presence of the Lord. Now, one of the things, some might think it this way, well, if God only gives us 100 years on this earth, that was sort of selfish of God in the light of eternity, that he only gives men, you know, that 100 years to decide their eternal destiny. But you can go back and look in the Old Testament. It doesn't matter if God gives men 100 years or gives them 900 years. There are people that are still going to reject God. It's not an idea of, I need more years in my life to decide that this God is real and I'm going to follow him. 100 years in life or 70 years in life is plenty of time for that individual to decide, is Jesus who he said he really was? And that is a question that every man, woman, and child that has ever breathed breath or ever will breathe breath, they have to answer that question. Who is this Jesus? Is he really who he said he was? Amen. And if he is, and then there's work on our part. And the first recorded question of God is in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9. And that's whenever God created Adam and Eve, and then he would go in the cool of the day, and he would come down and he would commune with Adam and Eve. And he came down that one day. Now we know that God knows all things. God knew what Adam and Eve had done. God knew where Adam and Eve were at that time, but he asked them a question, and he said, "Where are you?" He went searching in that garden. So we're putting God in the likeness of a man as though he didn't know where they were, and he's searching. He knew right where they were, but he asked of them, he said, "Where are you?" And God's questions to us today are very similar to that. Where are you in your faith? Where is it that you believe in me? How much do you believe in me? How much do you know about me? Amen. And so God asks of us today. He asks us different questions. And some of the questions that he asks of us today, amen, what is going on in your heart? What is going on in the heart? We know that the heart is deceitfully wicked. Amen. It's wicked. You can't trust your heart. People will say, "Well, I just felt it in my heart that I should do this." You don't listen to what your heart says, because the Word of God tells us that your heart is deceitfully wicked. And so don't be deceived in thinking, "I just feel in my heart that I need to know this." And some people get mixed up a little bit. They might say it that way, where at times it's really because of their lack of knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. It's the Spirit of God that's ministering through them and in them, and they feel through the Spirit of God, "This is what I should do." You can't follow your heart. Your heart will deceive you. It will lead you astray. So God is very concerned about what's going on in your heart, what's going on in your mind, in the depths of your soul. He's concerned. Amen. And God is also concerned, who are you listening to today? Who are you listening to today? There's voices in this world. There's many voices in this world. But ultimately, there is the voice of God in Jesus, in his teachings. And I refer to it often. He said, "My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow." And so if you really believe in Jesus and you know Jesus, you're going to know the voice of Jesus. You're going to know who Jesus is, and you're not going to listen to another one that comes along with something false. Amen. And God would ask this, and this takes some soul searching. We just don't hear this question and think, "Well, I got everything down right." Do you really? Do you really? And the question that God would also ask, what do you believe about me that isn't true? Are you believing something about God that isn't true? You're going to have to take some meditation. You're going to have to take some quiet time before the Lord. And you know what? God is faithful to us. And that Holy Spirit that dwells within us will reveal to you of an untrue thing that you think about God. There are some things that we can think about God that we think it's true, we think it's correct, and we think it's right, but it really isn't who God is. I don't want anything in me that has a belief about God that isn't true. To some people, both of these, I mean, they're opposite ends. Both of these have an untruth to them. Amen. For some people, they think that God is just a God of judgment and wrath, and that's all he is. That's not true. And then some people think that God's just a God of love and there's no judgment in him. That also is not true. So where do you fall in the spectrum? What's your belief on God? We know that he's compassionate, he's forgiving, he's full of grace, he's full of love, he's full of mercy. But what is your belief about God that you have today that isn't true? You can have some beliefs about him that isn't true. And we can get down even into the ways that we worship, even into the ways that the book of Acts talks about things and explains us to how God works and how the gifts of the Spirit are there. We're studying those in 1 Corinthians and Sunday school. We've been studying those. And those different spiritual gifts and things that work in us, are there some things about those that you are really believed to be in a certain way and it really isn't true? I want my religion, as James said, to be a pure religion, undefiled before God. Amen. That's what we would want in our life. And so the question that the Lord has for us today, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Well, He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's there with me. When I'm down, he lifts me up. And when I step out of line, he lets me know I step out of line. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. What is it that you believe about God? Who do you say that he is? And so in the day of Jesus, many people were confused about who Jesus was because they were very religious people. They wanted to live according to the law of Moses. And the Bible doesn't do it. And I'm reading another book right now that talks about it, but there's a period of history in there when the Maccabees were in control and when they were running. And in reality, they were setting the stage for the time that when Christ came, it was in perilous times. And Herod the Great came out of the Maccabees. And you study that back through, and it's something that's not recorded in God's word, but it's in there. And so people were very confused about who Jesus was. All of a sudden, there came this one on the scene, and they heard the story about the phenomenal star in the sky and the shepherds and their message. And as Mary pondered those things in her heart, amen, she watched those things when the angel spoke to her. I think a lot of people were pondering things in their heart, but the devil got a foot in the doorway. You need to be careful about the things that you ponder in your heart. You should never want to ponder the truth of God's word in your heart. And what I mean by that, is it really the way that it says it is? Or is it possibly another way? If you begin to ponder those kinds of things, you're giving a foothold to the enemy, and he's going to step through, and he's going to try to convince you that it means something else. So we need to be careful. So they were very confused about who Jesus was. They couldn't accept it. They were looking for a Messiah. He was going to come. There was a virgin that was going to have a child. And history tells us about the time that Jesus came on the scene, the Jewish people, they wanted their daughters to be that one that was going to be that virgin that Jesus was born through. But when it happened, they didn't accept it. And we must answer this on what the Bible says about him. It's not what you think about him. It's not what I think about him. But we have to answer who Jesus is about what the Bible says about him. Amen. There's not much debate about whether Jesus really existed. Even the unbeliever in history, there is recorded that there was a man that lived on this earth whose name was Jesus. That's not debated. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a fiction novel that somebody wrote about this man that came that was Mr. Wonderful and he come to save the world because of all their wickedness and evil. There's not much debate about whether he existed. Amen. But there are questions about the divine nature of Jesus. People just don't accept the divine nature of Jesus, that it could really happen that way. There are questions about the miracles that he did. There are questions about that gift of salvation that he offered. How could one man offer salvation to all? And Paul wrote to the Jewish people, and he explained it very well in the book of Hebrews, how one could die for the sins of many. First of all, who did Jesus say he was? Who did he say he was? And that's what we need to look at this morning. He claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be equal with God and with authority from God. Amen. With authority from the Father. And you can find that in Luke chapter 22 and verse 7. Verse 70, where the crucifixion was going on. And the people said, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the living God?" And he said, "Thou sayest." In other words, yes, I am. So number one, we can establish that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who he said he was. And in John chapter 5, you might want to jot some of these down. In verses 17 through 22, Jesus made himself equal with God. Made himself equal with God. Some people have the misconception that Jesus is just a little bit lower than God. There's God, and then there's Jesus, and then under Jesus is the Holy Ghost. They're three in one. They all have equal power. Amen. According to the scriptures of the Word of God, in John 5, 17 through 22, Jesus made himself equal with God. So that's who he was. He's the Son of God. He made himself equal with God. In John chapter 8 and verse 46, we're talking about who Jesus is. So I hope you already have established in your mind who you think Jesus is. Now we're looking at who he said he was. He claimed to live a sinless life. There is no man before him and no man after him that has had blood flowing through their veins that has not committed a sin. They all have committed sins. But Jesus claimed, amen, and his word is true, he lived a sinless life. That's who Jesus is, a man that lived a sinless life. John chapter 14 and verse 6, we're talking about who Jesus is. Jesus says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. That's who Jesus is. That's who Jesus said he was. That's who he is. John 11, 25, the power to forgive sins and to give everlasting life. That's who Jesus is. He is the only one that has power to forgive sins. I can't forgive sins. I can forgive you of a trespass that you commit against me, but I can't forgive your sins. Amen. And so you have to know what the Word of God says. He has the power to forgive sins and give everlasting life. And Jesus was one, and there's none of us that can do this. But this proves his divine nature. In Luke chapter 18, verses 31 through 33, he told of his own death and resurrection. He knew what his end was going to be of his natural life here on this earth, and he knew that he was going to rise from the dead. There's none of us that can tell our life from the beginning to the end. None of us know what our end is going to be. Ultimately, I hope to stand in the presence of God and to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. Those types of things we can know and have faith that that's the way it is. But we don't know what manner of death we're going to have. There's no man that knows that. But Jesus knew how he was going to die. He knew how he was going to raise again. And then in Matthew 24 and in Mark 14, you can read it. Jesus also said that he was coming back again. That's who Jesus is. But the question is, who do you say Jesus is? That same Jesus that you see going is going to come back in like manner to receive you unto himself. That's at that Mount of Ascension when he was lifted up into heaven. And you can read about that in Acts chapter 1. The disciples were there with him and talking with him. And while they were talking to him, he was taken away from them into the clouds. And then the angel came there and can you imagine the emotions that was involved in something like that? Here they are with their friend Jesus. They finally got it settled in their minds that this really is Jesus. This is the one that we worked with for 3.5 years. This is the one that was killed. This is the one that rose from the grave. They're standing there talking to him. And as they're talking to him, he's taken away from them up into heaven, into a cloud. And they're standing there and they're gazing and looking. That angel come and he says, what are you gazing into heaven for? He said, don't be gazing into heaven, because he said, this same Jesus that you've seen going into heaven is going to come again and receive you in like manner. So that's where we get that idea that he's going to come in a cloud, because he was taken up in a cloud. We get the idea that he's going to come back again. John chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. Amen. Then you'll realize, Jesus said, John 8, 28 and 29, I just want to turn over there, and he was explaining to people who he was. They couldn't understand who he was, but at this time, this was when they were going to realize that he was who he said he was. And when was that moment going to be? Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. He was telling the Jews that when you lift up the Son of Man, and that's talking about the crucifixion that they were going to do to him, then you're going to know who I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. You're going to realize who it was. And in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 28, there was a demonic, a man that was possessed of demons. And even the demons cried out of that man, and they knew who Jesus was. They knew who Jesus was, and yet we sit today and we say, well, I'm not sure who Jesus is. Jesus says, who do men say that I am? And then he says, who do you say that I am? And the demonic said to him, he said, what do I have to do with thee? And what did he call him? He said, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High, what do I have to do with thee? Even the demonic knew who Jesus was. And so back to our text that we read this morning, some people were saying he was Elijah, others were saying he was Jeremiah or a prophet, and to some people, he was a good teacher. He was a good teacher. And if the people would really believe that he was the Son of God, he said that he could make the difference in their lives. Jesus wanted them to really understand who he was. And today, in 2024, on May the 5th, Jesus really wants you to understand who he is. Amen. And he wants you to allow him to take that rightful place in your life. And we all have that choice today. We have to decide, who is Jesus? Who really is Jesus? And then the next question we have to answer for ourselves, am I going to allow him to have his rightful place in my life? Amen. The gift of life that we have is from him. And so today, who do you say that Jesus is? There's a lot of people say that he's a good man, that he was a good teacher, that he was a good prophet. But and then there's some that'll say he spoke some spiritual truths to the people. He was somewhat of a spiritual leader. They're getting offline a little bit. He was more than somewhat of a spiritual teacher. He was God in the flesh. Who is Jesus to you today? Is he somebody you only call on in the time of need when you're in trouble and then he's there? To some people, Jesus is like a Santa Claus. Jesus is like a good luck charm. They don't call upon his name until there's a dire situation and need in their life, and then he's there for me. He's there just there in my life waiting. He's like my guardian angel. He's just there to help me. He's more than a guardian angel. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. To many people, Jesus is just one of many ways to get into heaven. He's just one of many ways to get into heaven. You know, there's a lot of ways into heaven. And as long as you believe in God, we have that in common. We're going to get there. You might get there another way, but we're all going to get to heaven. That is not true. Jesus even addressed that in his teachings. He said that there's many people say there's many ways. You're going to come up some other way. And Jesus referred to them as a thief and as a robber. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And so who is Jesus in your life today? Amen. He's the way. He's the truth. And he's the life, as Jesus said he was. And your answer today should be, as Peter said in verse 16 of Matthew 16 that we read today. Peter said this, and this should be what we're able to say. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. You are the one through which we have that eternal life, through the one through which we have the redemption, through which we have the victory. You're the one that has the victory over death. Peter couldn't say that yet at that time. This was even before the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but Peter recognized him to be in the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. That's who we're serving today. To many, Jesus is somebody that's still hanging on a cross. You go into some churches, they have crosses in them, and in some churches, they still have Jesus hanging on that cross. That's not who Jesus is today. Amen. He went through that one time. Some still have Jesus as a babe in a manger. That's where he is. That's all they know him as. Amen. And some people have Jesus, and they'll have pictures on their wall, and they have that one of a man's heart, and there's a door at that heart, and Jesus is standing at that door of the heart, and he's knocking, and he wants to come in. That's how they depict Jesus today. That's who Jesus is. Amen. To some, he's just a good luck charm, but we need to be like Thomas was. And in Matthew chapter 20, in verse 28, we're going to look at that this morning. It's the last scripture that I have here today. And what did, I'm over in Matthew. No wonder I'm not getting the right scripture. John chapter 20 and verse 28. We need to be able to say it like Thomas said it. In John chapter 20 and verse 28. John chapter 20 and verse 28. I'm getting all mixed up here. Let me find it here. And Thomas answered and said unto him, this is what we need to be able to say, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. And what did Jesus say to Thomas after that? He said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But then the rest is for us. Thomas believed because he seen it. He wouldn't believe it until he seen the nail prints in his hands and in his feet, till he seen the whipping he took on his back. His side was pierced. Then he believed. But Jesus said, you only believe because you've seen it. But he said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I trust that you believe today. Jesus said, who am I? Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? He is the Savior of your soul. You're going to get to heaven. It's because of the love of Jesus. It's because of the mercy and grace of God. It's not because of any good and wonderful thing you do, although God wants us to do good and wonderful things, that the good works are going to follow those that believe in Jesus. But who do you say that Jesus is today? Let's stand to our feet this morning, and I want to sing this song. And I've gotten away from this, and so Sister Bonnie can come up, and let's stand to
to our feet. And what I want us to do, it's 5 minutes to 12 yet, 6 minutes to 12, so we have time. I want you to find a place of prayer. It would be good to come to the altar or come to the seats in the front, and I want you to pray, and we're going to sing this song, Oh, How I Love Jesus, Because He First Loved Me. And I want you to answer that question within your mind today, within prayer. God, Jesus, who do I say that you are? And then I want you to begin to let the Spirit minister to you and to whisper some of those things to Jesus of who you say He is in your life. And most of all, He's the Savior of your soul. So we have a few minutes of time. So let's find a place of prayer this morning. Amen. And establish in your heart. He said, who do men say that I am? That's easy for us to answer. But then the personal question you're going to answer today in prayer, who do you say that Jesus is? Find a place of prayer as we sing this song a couple of times. And I'm going to take some time to pray too. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. We're singing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, love Jesus, because He first loved me. Oh, Father, help us, Jesus. Lord, who are you to us today, Lord? I pray, God, that you be our soon returning King, God. Lord, you're coming to set up on this earth. You're going to rule and reign for 1,000 years of peace, God. You're our returning King. You know no defeat. You've never lost a battle. You're my Lord. You're my King. That's who my God is. Lord, I worship my God this day. I worship you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. God, I can do all things in my life, God, because you give me the strength. I can do all things through Christ that gives me the strength. I am more than a conqueror through Him that loved me, and greater is He that is in me than he that's in this world. God, you're that He that's in our life. You're the great I am, oh God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, you've extended your love and your mercy to us, oh God. Lord, that we allow you to work in your fullness within our lives, oh God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, help us this day, God. Minister unto us, Lord, that we'll draw ourselves closer to you, God. Lord, that we'll realize who you are, God. You're not somebody that's so far away that we cannot draw close to you, oh God. You're not untouchable, Lord. You're touched with the feelings of our infirmities, oh God. You care and you understand, God. Lord, we call upon your name this day, Jesus. Lord, that we'll let Jesus be Jesus in us, oh God. Lord, that you have complete reign in our lives, God, that you take kingship in our lives, God. In the name of Jesus, we worship you this day. We look to you, Jesus. God, enlighten our hearts, enlighten our understanding, oh God. Lord, of that relationship that we can have with you, that you want to work through us and in us, oh God. Lord, you want to flow through us, God, out of our bellies like rivers of living water, oh God. Lord, we call upon your name today in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for that gift of salvation, God. Lord, that I'll let Jesus be Jesus in me, God. That I'll submit and I'll surrender to your will and to your ways, oh God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, that I don't have any misconceptions of who you really are, God. Lord, that there's nothing in my life, God, that I believe about you that is not true, God. Lord, let everything that I believe about
about you. Be the truth, oh God, to be who you really are and what you really want to be in my life, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, that I be led not into error, God, but I always stay in the truth of your word, oh Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let's sing that part. To me, he is so wonderful. Amen. The enemy of your soul doesn't want you to have a genuine relationship with Jesus because the devil knows who Jesus is. He don't have any problem answering that question. He knows who Jesus is, but yet many believers don't even really understand who he is. Amen. To me, he is so wonderful. Amen. First, love me. Oh, to get a concept of the love of Jesus, this should just be like a little sliver of it. You take the love of a mother. A true mother is going to let nothing bad happen to her children. She's not going to let anybody do anything that's going to harm her children. I mean, she's there. She'll fight to the death for her children. If it means that she'd have to give her life for her children, she would do it. And if somebody rises up against her children, she comes out in a strut. She comes out fighting and swinging. And if that child's sick, she's right there beside that child. She'll go days without sleep, days without eating like she should eat because the child is sick. The love of our Heavenly Father is much more than the love of a mother. Sometimes we think God just doesn't see, doesn't understand. He doesn't care. He doesn't want to be bothered with me. He's got bigger fish to fry, and I'm just a nobody and a nothing. Man, God loves you more than a mother's love. And you think about that today. You dwell on that. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us, God, to really realize who you are, God. Lord, the question that you had for the disciples, but who do you say that I am? We know what everybody else says. But personally, who are you to me? God, let that work in my heart today, this week, and in my life, God, that I'll let you be you in me the way you want to be. Be with each one of us. Keep your hand upon us. Guide, love, protect us. Let your blessing be upon each one, God. We thank you for all things. Everybody say amen. Let Jesus be Jesus in you.